បាទ
មេរៀនសកូនិយាយអាមេរៀនចុងក្រោយសួរមើលអ្នកណាក៏បានដែរមិនមានតែមួយ
សួរតាំងពីលើកទី1
អូសួរច្រើនពេកលើកទី1ហ្នឹងសួរដ
ែរកូនស្មួនស្មៀននឹងកូនចាំហ្នឹងណាខ្ញុំ
កូនស្មួនស្មៀននឹងកូនចាំមិនសួរច្បាស់មើល
កូនមួយកូន
គូសិនបានស្វា
កូនមួយកូនចាំ
And she have កាលណឹងមេរៀនបានបង្រៀនច្បាស់ហើយណាបាទ
អត់ខ្លីចាំបង
ខ្លីខ្លីហ
៎
អាកូនកូនចាំកូនយ៉ាងម៉េច
ខ្ញុំខំស្ដាយកូនមានរប
ស់អាចម្លែងខ្ញុំខ្ញុំចង់យាញចេះណាខ្ញុំសុំឆ្លើយឲ្យមុនគាត់ឆ្លើយចុះកូនកូនបកកើតហើយនឹងកូនចាំកូនបកកើតជាកូនដែលទទួលរងនៃការវិចារអាយកូនដែលកូនចិញ្ចឹមគឺជាកូនមួយដែលមិនសូវមានការវាចោលទេគឺកាយរបស់កូនអ្នកដតី And she have a question about Adam and the children.
Mm-hmm.
And what are different from each other? Mean Adam and children.
Between adopted children and right. and natural children?
Right, natural children and Adam.
As far as responsibility of parent to child,
yeah.
there is no difference.
And she want to know what a different from about natural children and adopted children when they live in the family.
There should be no difference.
Look like in the book that we have read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she know 2 points a different.But she didn't clear about that and so...
Where at is difference?
I got jump sua tha ka nai khong prae kapi nung prae kapi ai an nai prak mai jeung an prak mai Upaman Galatians chapter 4
Galatians chapter 4
right
okay
what's safe
Galatians 4 verse 6.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Okay, I think I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, Ephesians, Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, it say, to redeem, Jesus came to redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons.
I am going to read Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. I am going to read Galatians chapter 4, verse 5.
Then he says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We talk about the sonship that we have in Christ in two different ways.
ហើយយើងបានជជែកគ្នាអំពីកូនភាពជាកូននោះមានភាពពីរខុសគ្នា
We talk about adoption, we talk about birth.
ហើយយើងនិយាយអំពីកំណើតយើងនិយាយអំពីកូនចិញ្ចឹម
Remember that we have existence before we are born again.
យើងបានចងចាំអំពីមុនពេលអ្វីដែលយើងបានកើត
And God, he does not only redeem our spirit, but he redeem our whole body.
ប៉ុន្តែព្រះម្ចាស់បានរំដោះយើងបានលួយើងចេញពីព្រះវិញ្ញាណបរិសុទ្ធរួចហើយប៉ុន្តែព្រះអង្គមិនទាន់លួយើងផ្នែករូបកាយទេ
So often when we read about God's choosing us when we were dead in sins
ហើយដូច្នេះនៅពេលដែលព្រះម្ចាស់បានរើសយើងឡើងនៅពេលដែលយើងបានស្លាប់នៅក្នុងអំពើបាប
We read about adoption
យើងដឹងអំពីកូនចិញ្ចឹម
We read about his love in choosing us when we were unlovable and making us his children.
យើងបានដឹងអំពីព្រះម្ចាស់បានរើសយើងឡើងហើយនៅពេលដែលយើងគ្មានយើងគ្មានអំណាចណាមួយដើម្បីនឹងរើសព្រះអង្គទេ
But when we read about how this is done,
ប៉ុន្តែយើងបានដឹងអំពីអ្វីដែលធ្វើការនេះ
Then we read about the new birth.
យើងចាប់បានដឹងអំពីកំណត់ថ្មី
We are born of the Spirit
យើងបានកើតនៅក្នុងព្រះវិញ្ញាណ
So in Galatian, he bring these two thoughts together. And he says, we are adopted, so we are sons. And because we are adopted, he gives us the new birth. Because he has chosen us, then he gives us birth. So we are not only adopted, but we are also born into his family. Another verse that deal with this is in Romans chapter 8. Verse 13.
ទេមកបបសិនជាអ្នករកគ្នារស់តាមសច្ចាញនោះនឹងត្រូវស្លាប់ទៅតែបើសម្លាប់អំពើរបស់រូបសច្ចាញដោយសារព្រះវិញ្ញាណនោះអ្នករកគ្នានឹងបានរស់វិញក៏ដល់បួនហើយអស់អ្នកណាដែលព្រះវិញ្ញាណនៃព្រះទ្រង់នោះ
Amen. Amen. So you see again, he say there that we are the sons of God. And then he say that because we are sons, we have received the spirit of adoption. God is now active in our lives. So this is how he talks about it. The reason is because the picture of human adoption is not adequate to describe what God does in us. And the picture of birth, it is not adequate to describe us. The basic difference between adoption and birth there are two basic differences. One is that parents do not choose to have a child and what the child will look like when it is grown. When a woman she conceive and is pregnant, this is a miracle of God. Until the baby is born, you do not know what he will look like. You do not know if we'll be boy or girl, if we'll have the same color skin, the same shape face, the same eyes as mother or father or grandparent. You don't know if baby will be healthy or if baby will be deformed. You cannot know. In adoption, you know exactly what the child will look like. Because the child is already grown some. You know what his eyes look like, his face look like. You can see if it's boy or it's girl. Okay, so two differences. Other difference is that in birth the child is related to both of its parents. It has something of them inside of it. Now we know that that is in every cell of the body is genetic. Have DNA that is combined father and mother. In adoption, no matter how much I love a child that I adopt, they will never have my DNA in their cells. They will not grow to look like me. They may act like me, because I will teach them and they will love me. But they will look like their parents, they will look like the people from whom they come. So these are the two differences that exist between the picture of adoption and of birth. But our relationship with God, it has to have both pictures. Because on the one hand, God knew us before the world began. He saw what we would look like. He knew what we would be. And He chose us. Well, that is like adoption. But on the other hand, God chose to make us related to Him. He chose to change us. He takes away that natural spirit and puts in His spirit. He changes our soul. And in the end, He is going to change our bodies. So we are going to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And this begins in what we call the new birth or the giving of the Spirit. So we are adopted, we are chosen by God, and we are brought into His family. But we are also born. We have the benefit of both systems. And that is what he tried to explain by mixing both explanation. We are sons by adoption, but we are also sons by birth. It is because there is no way that we can perfectly explain. But that is how God shared with us the concept. Does that make sense to you? Does that answer question?
ចាំសួរសំណួរសួរថាម៉េចសួរសំណួរអត់ទៅបើអត់ដៃទីខាងខាងគាត់ទៅ
And see our question. How do she submit with her husband because her husband always blame her, persecute her, like fighting and everything. Right now she left from her husband and to stay here and to work with God, but she want to submit with her mm-hmm. husband, but her husband didn't know how to allow. They always persecute her all the time.
Mm. That is a very, very difficult situation. Maybe in this time that you are away, you can pray to God about and ask Him to show you how to submit. I have a similar situation with a member of church in USA. She is a very old woman. Has been married more than 40 years. And she and her husband, they separate from each other because of this. He always get angry with her and hit her sometime. He is not a believer. And I talked to her about her desire. I asked her, does she want to be submissive to him? She said, no, after all of these years, I hate him. We begin to talk more, and I find out that she do not think she has loved him for many, many years. For her, her relationship with him was about how to avoid making him angry and making him hit her. Or sometimes it was about how she could be right and make him angry because of her righteousness. In her situation, I talked to her about praying to God to understand what motivate her. Does she love her husband like she loved Christ? Does she see what she does to her husband as the same as doing it to Christ? I talked to her about praying so God can show her how she can love her husband. You know, sometimes people, they are in situation and they know what is right. And especially as wife, when they know their husband, he is doing wrong. They want to tell him all the time, oh, you are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong. Or they want to do things to show him what is right. And sometimes this just makes him more and more angry. In God's word, when He say you stay with the unbeliever, He does not say that you have to constantly witness to unbeliever with words. He does not say that you have to tell the unbeliever that he need to start to believe. No, he only say you need to remain there. And you need to do what is right. Now, God's word does not say that if it is dangerous to your life, to your health, to remain. That you have to stay in danger. But he does say you have to stay married. He does say you have to love the man. And what I would advise you to do is to pray that he show you how to love. How to be a good example for him. And begin to pray to God to make you love your marriage. To want to love your husband. Pray to God to save your husband. To save him from his anger, his bitterness. And if you do return to him, pray for God to give you wisdom how to not anger him more. Maybe the time will come when you can go to him in love. And you can tell him that you love him because Christ loves you. That even though he has been abusive and has done many bad things, you know that you have been like that to Jesus. And because Jesus still loves you, you still will love him. I do not know if God will give you opportunity to have that conversation or no. But if you do say that to him, the burden upon you to live it will be that much greater. If he can see that your love for him is greater than your love for yourself, and can see Christ in you, then maybe it will save him. But do not do anything because I say to do. Take this time God has given you to pray to him. To seek his guidance. And if you pray believing, God, he will answer your prayer. He will give you the direction that you need. And he will establish your family upon his word. I want to pray for you now. Almighty God, God who created all things for your glory, Father, you have established marriage and family for your honor. Father, I pray now for this sister. And for her husband and their marriage. Father, I ask that you would save their marriage. Father, I know we live in a day when marriage is under attack in every corner of the world. Under attack by governmental authority. And under attack by Satan himself. Father, I know that men who are the head of each family are subject to great temptation to sin and to destroy that which God has given them. Father, the anger that can consume us, the sin of drunkenness, of alcohol, the sin of pornography and adultery, Father, the darkness is all around. I ask that you would pierce that darkness with the light of your marvelous Son. I ask that you would work in her life and in her husband. Enlighten him with your presence and grant him repentance for his sin. Calm his anger and soften him toward his wife. And Father, I ask that you would give to her a submissive heart. A heart that would first submit itself to you and to your will. And afterward that might submit to her husband. That she would be able to find a way to be an example to him of your truth. That she would be able to care for him as you have cared for her. Give her a heart of compassion to see through his sin and his anger. And to recognize if there is indeed your work in his heart and life. Father, give her the miraculous ability to forget all that has been done to her in the past. To forgive him as you have forgiven her. Father, I ask the same blessing in each of our marriages. Her case is not the only one. And apart from your grace, we all would be in the same situation. Father, take this break in her life, this time when she is away. Create in her a heart that is in the image of your Son. And use her as a witness to her husband and family. Magnify your name in her. And Father, we will give you praise for it. You're the God who created marriage. And we know you're the only one who can save marriages. So we trust you for salvation today. In Jesus' name. Amen.